Good Word with Goodwill on Yahoo Sports. Ball don't lie. And here is Vince Goodwill.
Welcome to the Good Word, y'all. I'm Vincent Goodwill. We are here on the Ball Don't Lie Network. If you are watching us on YouTube, you just see me. And there is no guest today. And sometimes through this season, maybe even once a week, it will just be a solo pod with me. We may be talking about different topics, different issues, or we may just do a podcast series. With me, as always, producer John Gennaro. John, I may wind up calling on you to play a game. Not like Saw, like Jigsaw, like the movie, but, you know, we're going to play a little game here because everybody loves games. With the season coming up, I feel like we are beginning to be in a position of transition in the NBA, not just because of the CBA or anything else, or just because there's been five NBA champions in the last 5 years, but players are a little bit older than we actually think. And this is where I'm going to bring in producer John. And John, we all know how old LeBron James is. And I think he's the reason why we are here as far as not being able to understand ages. I think also part of it is because we spent 2 years in a pandemic where we felt like everybody's age froze and we were not able to actually calibrate how old players are. But John, as I bring you in here today, how old do you think Kawhi Leonard is?
Whew. Well, he played for, I think, 3 years at San Diego State. So he wasn't even one of the dudes who came out super young. If I had to guess, man, I feel like he's LeBron's age, but that's we would hear more about it if he was. So I'm going to go with like 33.
You're absolutely right. Kawhi Leonard is 33. Same age as Paul George, mind you. Stephen Curry, who we all know is drinking from the fountain of youth, is 35. We never thought about NBA players playing beyond that particular point. Larry Bird retired. Magic Johnson retired. HIV came back at 36. Michael Jordan's second retirement happened at age 35. We don't think about players lasting as long as they've lasted. Now, maybe that's load management. Maybe that's guys sticking around for these supermax contracts on the back end. But I'll take you a little bit further back as far as age. John, how old do you think Giannis Antetokounmpo is?
He's on his third contract or second contract?
Third.
29?
He will be 29 in December. And that's where I want to start. I want to start with Giannis as a seminal figure for the NBA being in a position of transition, because we are often so tempted to look at a player and look at where he is, where we think he is in terms of his development, and say, man, wait till this guy reaches this particular point in his career. How much better is he going to be? And this is no knock against Giannis, because I'm going to preface this by saying I think Giannis is the great single greatest player development story in the history of the NBA. When you consider his starting point, when you consider all the corresponding steps that he took, when you consider where he ended up in 2021 with that great Game 6, that great NBA final series against the Phoenix Suns. We have the temptation to say, man, Giannis, when the rest of his game fills out, how great is he going to be? His game has already filled out masterfully. Okay. Like, you can start to see a little bit of the slippage, a little bit of the slippage. He is still, and there's a project that we are going to do at Yahoo Sports in the next couple of weeks. And I'm not able to talk about it today, but you guys will really enjoy it. I think you really will rock with it, even if you don't necessarily disagree with all of the findings of said project. But Giannis is starting ever so slightly to not be at the absolute peak of his powers. just you can see it in some of the advanced stats and some of the numbers. You can see it a little bit in terms of the health, in terms of some of the injuries that he's had that before he could easily bounce back from and not necessarily bounce back from. Now, remember, he missed games in that first round series against the Miami Heat, which you could say was the single biggest factor in why the Bucks were not able to find their rhythm against a team that was going to go to the NBA Finals. To that point, I say, Giannis has been open over the past several weeks about not necessarily having wandering eyes, we wouldn't say, but you would definitely say he is starting to look at his basketball future and not looking at himself as a quote unquote young man. He is looking at himself with a lot of tread on his tires, a lot of miles on his body. And with the Milwaukee Bucks being the small market franchise that they are, with the Milwaukee Bucks being also a franchise that has won an NBA championship and has won one NBA championship since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar left town. So we're not talking about a franchise that should have or a fan base that is starved for NBA success. And Giannis is saying, hey, you know what? If the Bucks aren't doing everything they can to build a championship team around me, you know, I'm going to have to look elsewhere. That is honestly in the superstar handbook if you are anybody other than Damian Lillard. That is honestly the point that we thought Stephen Curry was going to get to before the Golden State Warriors pulled a championship out of their behinds in 2022. Okay? The aspect of player loyalty in today's NBA of the one-name superstars being with one franchise for their entire career. You're thinking of Tim Duncan, you're thinking of Dirk, you're thinking of Kobe, and for the moment, you are thinking of Stephen Curry. For the moment, you are thinking of Giannis. For the moment, you may even be thinking of Joel Embiid, even though he does not have championship bona fides or even, let's say, a conference finals appearance on his resume. You know what I mean? Let's keep it a buck there, right? You are probably thinking of Nikola Jokic, too. He has certainly entered that strata. You don't think of Nikola Jokic. I see John shaking his head trying to figure out where Nikola Jokic figures into this. Yeah, two-time MVP, finals MVP, put together one of the greatest runs in the history of NBA postseason basketball. Yes, he fits, John. Absolutely.
Wait. Isn't he just Giannis a few years ago?
He could be. He could very well be. But there has hardly ever been question about Nikola Jokic's future in a particular place. Remember, before the Milwaukee Bucks won that championship, they had to do a lot of things to get Giannis to re-sign. Remember, there was the rescinded trade, and then there was the trade for Jrue Holiday, which turned out to be the trade that, you know, put them over the top. And then in the throes of the pandemic, Giannis re-signed, not for super long. He extended for 3 years. That is why he is perpetually putting pressure on the Milwaukee Bucks. Also, a franchise that has gone through quietly an ownership change. You don't really go through ownership changes, folks, with billions of dollars on the line if you believe your number one moneymaker is designed to stay for the long call. Not to say that he won't, but let's assume that there's enough doubt that someone would say, you know what, maybe I should get out now while the getting is good. And then in comes Jimmy Haslam of the Cleveland Browns to, you know, to take over. And there's some weird governorship issues there as far as John, it's one of those weird things as far as they alternate governors every 5 years for the Milwaukee Bucks, where basically the decision maker, as opposed to majority owner, makes decisions in 5-year cycles. Yeah, it's a weird thing. I don't think that's ever been precedent in NBA history, but when you consider now it's billions of dollars for these franchises as opposed to hundreds of millions of dollars, you can see why these things sort of change, because it's way too much money on the line. You got new arenas. You got a superstar there. All these other things. I digress. My general point is to keep a superstar You have to do so much. And think about Giannis. We think of Giannis as being the anti-Kevin Durant, right? Kevin Durant was the guy who left the small market Oklahoma City Thunder to go to the dynastic Golden State Warriors. Remember when Kevin Durant signed on the dotted line for his extension with the Oklahoma City Thunder? That was on, I believe, July 7th, 2010. That day ranks in infamy in NBA history, or as I like to say, comedy. Because, John, on July 7th, 2010, do you know what happened? John says no. July 7th, 2010, I believe that's the date. That is the day of LeBron James's decision. Where LeBron James left from Cleveland to go to Miami, which started this whole player empowerment thing. And Kevin Durant was branded as the guy who was going to stay with his hometown team that drafted him, right? And he was going to be the anti-LeBron James. Fast forward 6 years later, Kevin Durant goes on a Players Tribune, says my next chapter with a Golden State Warriors emblem on it. And now we have shifted that Kevin Durant role to Giannis Antetokounmpo. We have given him a label that he hasn't necessarily campaigned for. And now we are at the point, we are reaching another inflection point where we have to say, A, has this player played his absolute best basketball, which we honestly could not have said for Kevin Durant or LeBron James when they left their respective hometown teams or their drafted teams. The best of LeBron James objectively happened with Miami. The best of Kevin Durant, you could pretty much say, happened with the Golden State Warriors, where the infrastructure of the Warriors met up with all of his talents and all of his versatility for that short period. And even if Kevin Durant is a reasonable version of himself, with the injuries and a few other small factors, he's not necessarily 100% of that guy. He may be 98% of the guy that he was in Golden State for up until Giannis's manifesto in the 2021 NBA Finals. I was a member of Kevin Durant as the best player in basketball and has been since 2014. So I am by no means am I stepping on Kevin Durant. But my larger point is we're talking about Giannis reaching a point where his contract is going to be up, or he's going to be able to reach free agency. And the Milwaukee Bucks may have to entertain the thought of trading him. I'm not saying they have to do it right now. I'm not saying it's even something that they have to do necessarily a year from now. But I am cautioning, especially for franchises who are in this trick bag of surround the superstar with veterans. But once you do that, once you pay Brooke Lopez, once you pay Jrue Holiday, once you pay Chris Middleton, once you leverage all your draft picks, you know what that means? You can't really get better. You cannot actually get better because old guys don't get better. Old guys are just more seasoned. They just know how to go through the gamut of an 82-game marathon and then a 3-month playoff marathon, and you hope that they stay afloat. How does that jibe with getting better and keeping your superstar happy? It's almost an impossible task unless you add a veteran that's on a lower grade contract and you're not too concerned about reaching into second aprons of luxury taxes and things of that nature. And John, yes.
I just want to make this point because I think it's a good one, and you're dancing around it, even though I know you probably mean it, which is LeBron left the Cavs, I think the year after they lost the finals, right? When he went to Miami.
No. The Cavs reached the finals in 2007.
Yeah.
Lost in the second round in 08. Lost in the conference finals in 09. And lost in the second round to Boston in 2010.
But they were a championship contender when LeBron left. But he made the decision of they can't get any better than this. Durant left OKC after being in the Western Conference Finals.
Yes, in 2016, the Western Conference Finals with a 3-1 lead over the 73-win Golden State Warriors, yes.
And people were mad at LeBron and people were mad at Durant for leaving because they were like, you're already on a championship contender. And I think what LeBron and KD were trying to tell us is these teams can't get over the hump. There's a limit. They cannot get any better than this. And we are not the best team in the league. There are other teams that will beat us in a 7-game series. And I think your point is like Milwaukee might be in that position now where they are a championship contender every year, but they also might be in a position where they can't get better. They can't get over the hump. How are they going to compete with the top three teams in the league?
Yes. There's also a human factor here because LeBron left Cleveland for Miami. Let's be perfectly honest here. That is no utopia. All right. And Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City for the Bay Area. Okay. So you factor in competitiveness. You factor in, I got to win, which coincides with basketball mortality. And you add Giannis to that equation and you say, okay, this is a Nigerian guy with worldly interest. He is spreading his wings. He and his brothers, you can see, you know, their life story. And Giannis is spending more time in other places. And there's nothing wrong with that. And to be perfectly honest, John, I don't think, at least I would hope, that if Giannis does make the choice to leave Milwaukee, because he brought them a championship, he's in a much different, much more advantageous position with that franchise, with that fan base, than Durant and LeBron are. I just think we have to get it out of our minds that it's impossible for a player to leave. You know, like I know, whether it's the Lakers, the Clippers, the Knicks, whomever, any franchise with resources, or the Toronto Raptors, any franchise with resources that it is a world-class American city that has a bunch of things outside of basketball to offer a superstar, you're going to try your best to keep your powder reasonably dry in the event that you can acquire a player like Giannis. And that's not to say, to John's point, that the Bucks can't win, because in the Eastern Conference, until or unless the Miami Heat acquire Damian Lillard, and by the time you guys hear this podcast, it could actually happen, right? There's nobody that the Milwaukee Bucks will fear in a 7-game playoff series. You're not going to fear the Boston Celtics. They're too combustible. You're not going to fear the Philadelphia 76ers because they ain't never done shit. You might fear the Miami Heat, but a competitively fearful thing, because they've beaten you twice in playoff settings, but you've also swept them on your way to your first championship. That's more rivalry than fear. That's more we're on the same level and let's match up in a 7-game series. Hence why Mike Budenholzer is out. Adrian Griffin is in, because they're trying to maneuver around the edges here. But remember, everybody holds up Dirk and Kobe Bryant as the bastions of player loyalty in this recent iteration of NBA history. Even if we're coming to an end of an era, Kobe is having spent all those years with the Lakers. Remember, the last 4 or 5 years with the Lakers were a slog for that franchise. You know, Kobe had the Achilles in 2013. So at the end of the 2013 season, so he wasn't the best version of himself, on top of making, you know, an exorbitant amount of money, which tied the Lakers cap up and everything else. But just think about the Lakers not being a flagship franchise until LeBron James got there. They were in the wilderness for a long time. The Dallas Mavericks, after 2011, Mark Cuban made the decision to break that team up and to go into a completely different direction. He didn't want to re-sign Tyson Chandler. You look at some of the older players on that team, and maybe that decision was the right decision when you said, okay, you know what, you got all these young teams coming. The Oklahoma City Thunder, who they beat in the 2011 Western Conference Finals, coming. So you're saying, you know what, we got a championship. Let us rebuild. Let us get in the sweepstakes for possibly Chris Paul, possibly Darren Williams, when Darren Williams was that dude. Dwight Howard was that dude. You understood it, but it turned out not to work. And Dirk was wandering in the wilderness for the next X amount of years of his career until Dirk retired. And it wasn't indicative of what we felt like those players' stature required. It didn't feel like that. Today's players are going to ensure, or at least trying to ensure, that they are not in those situations. Giannis will ensure that he is not wandering in the wilderness if he indeed has played his absolute best basketball. And I think he has played, by and large, his best basketball. That's not to say he's in decline. That's not to say he's getting washed or anything like that. He's still at his best, is the most irresistible force in today's game because of what he does on both ends of the floor. But you have to understand what these players are going to start seeing as they age. And we have to start seeing it as well, because we have lost the concept of age. Stephen Curry at 35 years old, because he's a great shooter and keeps himself in phenomenal shape, and because honestly, he had such a rocky start to his career with the ankle injuries, there's not as much practical miles on his body the way that there is an average 35-year-old. And LeBron, of course, we know is an alien. Okay, that's why I brought up Kawhi Leonard. That's why I brought up Paul George. Guys that we've seen have injuries that we can see their mortality. We've seen their mortality at the peak of their powers. So when you look at a guy like Giannis, and he's the number one guy I think of when I think of this, a guy that's right at the peak, but is kind of maybe playing footsies, not with any other franchise, but he's playing footsies with the thought of maybe I can get up out of here in the next couple of years if things don't change. And he has to start thinking about that. And if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you have to start thinking about that too. It's ugly. It's not pretty. And the Milwaukee Bucks would get skewered publicly for trading Giannis, right? John, they would. They would, right?
I don't think so. This is where, like, I actually want to give Giannis a little bit of credit.
Okay.
Because if we're going to compare Giannis now to Durant, his last year at OKC, or LeBron, his last year in Cleveland before he went to Miami. Like, OKC, Cleveland,
you can't
was
trade those guys. You do realize that, right?
You can't trade those guys. But if there was anything that was going to let you trade those guys, it's two things, and Giannis has them both. One, Giannis brought a title to a title-starved city. Those fans, yes. If he leaves, those fans are going to go, thank you for bringing us the title, and we have no ill will against you. But the other thing is, he's in the media basically letting the front office off the hook, saying if they want to trade me, they can trade me, because I'm telling y'all, I'm not here forever just because. If Durant had done that, maybe OKC would have traded him. Now, Cleveland's a different thing because LeBron was the chosen one. He was from Ohio and all this stuff. But if Durant had come out and said, I'm not here forever, I'm here to win a title, and I don't know if we can do it with this team. If OKC had then traded him, yeah, people would have lambasted him, but he got that anyway, right? But then OKC at least would have walked away with something in their pocket. I think Giannis is actually doing the Milwaukee Bucks front office a favor by coming out and saying, like, If you just roll this out until the end, you might walk away empty-handed.
Well, John, I am a fan of Motown music, as people can see behind me. There's some records. I am a child of Motown. There's not a record behind me from Gladys Knight that says neither one of us wants to be the first to say goodbye. Go look it up. Go look up the song. Trust me. We may even have it playing in the background. You know, hopefully, you know, if John can dig up the tune, right? But John, I don't think he's letting them off the hook per se, because even if Kevin Durant had told Sam Presti in the 2015-16 season, you know, the season after he came back from his first serious injury, the Liz Frank foot injury, which seems like worlds ago, everybody thought the Oklahoma City Thunder were the team best equipped to beat the Golden State Warriors. People did not think of Golden State as being a dynastic team until they went 73-9. So if Kevin Durant goes and says, hey, I'm not here forever, are we sure that Sam Presti would have said, you know what, let's trade Kevin Durant? We just fired Scott Brooks. We brought in Billy Donovan. We think we can make a legit run here for a championship. Do you throw away the possibility of a real championship with a player like Kevin Durant because he says he's not going to be here forever, or because Kevin Durant is want to change his mind, as we've seen? Do you think, hey, y'all, we can figure this out here and we can at least get a championship on the back end of this? I don't know if you trade Kevin Durant. I know you don't trade LeBron James. I don't also think that you trade Giannis unless he asks for it. You're not trading Giannis unless he asks for it. Like, in this world of trade demands and player empowerment and, you know, Damian Lillard is catching all this hell, you sign the contract. You know, you should never ask for a trade. You should never ask for conditions upon, you know, re-signing. And then they're paying you $60 million. How dare you ask the Portland Trail Blazers to, you know, put a veteran team around you so you can win. You know, shut up and take your money. All right, whatever. Cool. Yeah. Keep living in that fantasy world while we sit here and live in the realism of professional sports and the realism of NBA contracts, NBA mortality too. Giannis is approaching age 29. He's getting closer to where he can see the apex of his career, where he can see, you know what? These injuries are piling up. And I'm going to need more superstar help to help me not only through the 82 games, but through the Las Vegas play-in, but through, you know, playoff rounds in case I miss games. And if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you wind up finding yourself in a position, do we go out and get this veteran player on a bad team to try to bolster what we have, put ourselves further into luxury tax territory and to second aprons? Do we completely go for it, or do we press the reset button on us while we can, while we still have a little bit of flexibility, while Giannis still has great, great, great value across the league? I say you go for it, and when the wheels fall off, the wheels fall off, man. That's what I say. I say you go for it, especially in the Eastern Conference. Even if I would pick the Miami Heat in a playoff series if they got Damian Lillard over the Milwaukee Bucks, if I'm the Bucks, I take that chance. Not just this year, but next year. These championship windows are finite. I live in a city, y'all, where they have not won a playoff game since May 26th, 2008. Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals, Detroit-Boston, the Antonio McDice game. That was the last year of the Detroit Pistons making 6 straight Eastern Conference Finals. People thought it was their birthright to play in late May and early June. It is no birthright in the NBA. And they didn't have a superstar to build around, which made it a little bit trickier, right? Because they kept running into superstars and getting beat by them. So you could understand a little bit of that. But with Giannis, you got to go for it at every single turn. Even if he's telling you, even if he's saying, guys, I don't know if I'm going to stay here for the long haul. Guess what? It ain't going to be great no matter what you get back. And there's only one Sam Presti walking the face of the earth that's going to own every single draft pick for every single draft over the next 20 years. It's only one of those. It's only one of those. And even Sam Presti is going to have to make some decisions very quietly because you can't pay everybody in small markets and you got second aprons. So you have to start trading some of these draft picks as you start paying some of these players. Like, you're only going to have one Shea and maybe one Chet, who I think is going to be really, 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 really good, John. I can't wait to see Chet. Chet, the first Chet and Victor game, I can't believe I'm saying this, wherever it's going to be, either in San Antonio or Oklahoma City, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. Can't believe my bosses are going to tie me down as I say this out loud. I want to be at the first Chet Victor game. Maybe the second. Maybe the second Chet Victor game. First one, Victor might get load managed. Chet might get load managed. They don't really fall under the new load management rules because they're not quite all-stars. See how that works? If anybody's going to find a loophole, it's going to be Pop's old ass. All right? Now, To the larger point, it's not just Giannis I'm looking at. It's another guy too. Luka Doncic, a guy who hasn't won a championship, right? But a guy who has been on different iterations of a Dallas Mavericks team that, despite going to the Western Conference Finals in 22, they don't look any closer to actually winning a championship. Is Luka Doncic a guy that you can say he's going to be the best player on a championship team? And if so, how do you surround yourself? How do you surround that? At least with Giannis, you know what you win with. You know how you're going to win. Some guys, as great as they are, we still have lots of questions on if and how you can win with them. So while we talk about maybe Giannis, some of Giannis's flaws, and maybe Giannis is, we've seen the best of Giannis, and you know he can't be the same force that he was, and he maybe not going to play 82 games all the time. Find somebody better. And that is the end of today's episode. Thank you to producer John. Don't forget, we got Evan, we got Ron, we got Brett behind the scenes doing the videos that you guys see on social media, Instagram, and the place formerly known as Twitter, which if we get charged for, you will never see me there again. So until next week, as we get closer to training camp, closer to media day, closer to the NBA season, and closer to this unnamed project that I am going to unleash for you guys, we will see you guys next week. Everybody be safe.